All right, so here we are, Worldwide Live, through BBS Radio Online. I welcome all those folks that are joining in and want to be here with us tonight. It is Monday, August the 31st, 2015. Thank you for being here. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call, but the people are on the phone line already. Every time you hear a ding, that somebody else is joining in. As it just happened, welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say a name and location.
Roger.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the call. And also, I heard Roger. Good evening to you, Roger. Also, welcome.
Good evening.
All right. Who else joined in? You want to please say your name and location?
Steve, West Palm Beach.
Caller, please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. That must be my sister,
Hi.
Terry Brown. From
Hi,
Sedona Heights.
Oh, I hope you're in the garden, lady.
I try.
Hi,
Terry.
Terry, you sound really sweet today.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Not a lot of work done today.
All right. Let's see. Do we have some new people on the line today?
Probably so. Yes. Maybe a few. It's mainly old, so to speak.
Okay.
Because no new timers have announced themselves. But there might be some that are listening
All
in
right.
the back. So.
All right.
But hey, hello, Wynn. Thank you so much for being here, and the mic to you.
Well, let's see. Why don't you start the recording?
All right, so let me first mute, okay?
Yeah.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And also welcome to you, Terry. Thank you so much for being here. Here we go.
Hey, thank you for being here, too.
This conference is being recorded.
Voice.
This is August 31st, 2015. Another day on planet Earth. It happens to be a Monday. What is, Terry, Monday? Sunday is for the sun, right?
I don't know.
I'll bet Monday is for the moon, right?
It is. And that's moon, they say Monday, like Mon, standing for moon. Let
right,
me turn
right.
on things.
And what is Tuesday? All right. So much for the days of the week.
I would turn off the things. Did you ask me something, Wynn?
Well, just going through the days of the week. Saturday is obviously for Saturn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I put out that I was going to do like an overview review. And it's good for all of us, aside from new people, because what we bring forth, when you take the information out of it and the understanding, and separate it from all of the, how can I say it, just the repartee that we all do. And that's part of it because that grounds the energy. It makes us human. And in one way or another, we've got to bring it down to a human level and a human way to know how to implement these incredible ideas, because the ideas are out there, and in general, we're presenting things, I would say, more expansively than anyone else I have run across, at least in a simple way. There are people that are very, very expansive, but they're hard to understand. And usually they don't ground it in the human side. Usually they bring out the ideas. And to me, if you bring out the idea and you don't ground it, it's like actually some of the ideas can be scary. And so it's very important to ground the energies so that you know how to work with it. That's part of why we do these calls, to help all of us, including me, ground the energies into the human side, because guess what? We are all human. We are human. No, you can't escape it, no matter how far out you are, no matter how big. Even Terry, who's probably got 75% of her on the other side, but it's she's learning how to ground stuff.
Right.
She is. She's getting better and better and better, okay? Because, you know, Terry often told me that she came into this realm from a higher realm, and you know, when you're in the higher realms, this is very hard to comprehend. And if I say it again and again, probably sinks in. But in the higher realms, time is not the same as here. So, for example, if something happened millions of years ago by Earth time, if you're high enough, millions of years ago might look like yesterday, or the day before, or the last week. And it's the experience when you're in a timeline is you don't feel the differentiation of the time. It's still going by in some kind of linear fashion, but it's different. It's going by differently than a timeline in 3D, which is like one of the slowest timelines. And because it's the slowest timeline, it's more, got more inertia in it. When you go into the higher realms, things change very quickly. Things change just by thinking about something and intending it, and there's a shift. And Earth, you know, we have to work really hard to make things shift. We have to work really hard to make ourselves shift, to make ourselves grow. It's not a mental process where you get a new idea and you say, oh, I'm just going to work this new idea and everything will be different. Because you have all this sluggishness from past lives, from patterns you've established. And it's like going in with an icebreaker and breaking up those patterns. And it's a process. And sometimes people discover our work and they hear Elohim, you know, we hear Terry Friedman, we have such high beings that we're connected with, and they think it's like magic that you can just say abracadabra and all your ice breaks up and everything transforms magically. And I wish it was that way. I do. But it's not. It's like it's starting a process of bringing the icebreakers in. First of all, starting the process of being aware that there's garbage, or there's lower levels, or there's trauma, or there's fear. And once you start to be aware and look at your stuff, you have the first step in breaking it through. Because if you're not aware of your stuff, of what's inside you, then you will think that's who you really are. You'll think that you are a scared person. And that's not who you are. That is a temporary pattern that you might have carried for a number of lifetimes, but it's a pattern that's imposed on you. It is not who you are. And it, when we move into our true natures, we are joyously, divinely connected to to all that is. And many of you have had that experience for a moment of time or a period of time. And then once you have that experience, you can look back at all the other stuff and you start to see it better. Because now you know there's another part of you that is joyous and loving and compassionate and part of the Creator, and that you have the ability to express the Creator through you in this realm. So we have these two group souls that I've come to the belief that they're real. Too many things tying it together. The Ra group made up of graduates of this realm, and the Elohim group made up of souls mostly that didn't come into this realm. And when they do, they usually get lost and have to go through 1,000 lifetimes before they get out of it again. Because once you're in this realm, you don't remember that you came from a higher realm. And there are beings in this realm that have, by and large, cut off from the higher realms, and they totally work at trying to get satisfaction from the realm without any connection to higher realms. Usually, they're under the category of service to self, because they're constantly trying to manipulate the realm for advantage. They want to manipulate it to get energy from people, to control people, to enslave people. And it's just the way it works. It's not good to think of them as the enemy, because then you polarize with them. Although they can be pretty horrible, and they can be, they can do horrible things, disgusting things, revolting things, and somehow we have to work around that. Most people that listen to George Norrie have some idea about all of that, and it's common knowledge amongst a lot of people that they would like to remove a good portion of the population of planet Earth, reduce the population, and so it can be their playground. And they are being controlled. I think most people on this call have become aware of that. And that is why you see things like chemtrails everywhere. That is why you have GMOs in food that are obviously not good for you. Many studies have been done showing what GMOs do to you, and it's up to you to go look on the internet and find out what foods you shouldn't eat, what foods you should only buy organic, which foods are most likely to be GMO. I can tell you right off the bat, corn is one of them. And soy is one of them. So if you buy corn or soy, you're loading yourself up with GMO. We're having thunder here, so we have a little sound effects in the background.
Thunder and lightning.
Right. So it's like we are here, and we are making connection with these two group souls. And there is a lot of benefit to this connection. First of all, there is a deeper understanding of the process of evolution. Anyone that pays attention to our calls over a period of time or studies our archives knows that believes in reincarnation, which means you don't die. Now, the question is, where do you go when you die, and how does the process of reincarnation work? And What about heaven and hell that Jesus talked about? Well, Jesus, more like the church talked about it. The churches talk about it. And they can be temporary places. As I understand it, heaven is not the highest place to be. Heaven is a place where you can meet your old friends and kind of heal yourself from some of the trauma. You know,
you're cutting out. You cut out.
Hello? Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Did you want to say something to what I'm saying here?
No, you're really getting it exactly the way I understand it.
Yeah. And so, you know, Terry kind of tracks people. I mean, she can go in the other dimensions and, you know, I've known Terry for years, and I thought she was a nutcase. She used to talk about this stuff. And I said, come on, let's go out and sell some sunglasses. Would you shut up, please? And so, you know, Terry says, you know, so she says that she and I are both are really old souls and that we existed way back at the beginning when the universe was being created. Maybe we were part of it. And then I jumped in and disappeared.
Yeah, and it was very boring without you. Nothing was going on.
So she jumped in looking for me. Where did he go? And I don't even know if we ever met before. It was probably billions of years ago. And I remember she saw me and kept staring at me, and I'm sure in the back of her mind was, subconsciously, there's that guy that
disappeared.
Mm-hmm. And so here we are. And I looked at her and I said, wow, there's a person that wants to help me sell sunglasses. And she was so dedicated. And it was like, I'm not sure I deserved it, but she was really dedicated. And,
well, I was really spellbound. That, like, I'd be there trying to sell sunglasses, and I wouldn't be doing very well. And he'd show up, and he'd stand on the back of the truck, and pretty soon he'd have a crowd, and he'd be passing them all out. And pretty soon they're buying them with, like, hotcakes. And, yeah.
So, getting back to the topic here, here we have this universe that's been created that's totally one energy. Now, you know, I don't remember being there before it was created, but what I do know is when I hear all these concepts, I cognize them immediately. I understand them, and I don't know why I understand them so deeply. I mean, Carla Ruckert said she'd never met anyone that understood the law of one and the raw material, as well as myself, which was really quite an honor from her. And, you know, we did these workshops, the Law of One workshops, Law of One Made Simple, and that I had the ability to translate these really heavy concepts into simple terms that people could grasp. And I think she thought I did it better than she did, because she would always defer to me on a lot of stuff on those calls. And so, you know, this is a puzzle thing. Well, why do I know all that stuff? How come I can do that? Jumping in. And once you jump in, you get caught up for millions of years in this realm and trying to figure out the game of this realm. So Terry can access the information from the other realms. And it's helped me to learn all the things that I'm sharing with you. So, in this realm on Earth, there's a quarantine around Earth. Energetically, people tend to be cut off from the highest of dimensions. And even when you have your chakras open, one of the things I learned is there's something called seals. You know, there's seven chakras and there's seven seals. And Jesus talked about seven seals. And I believe that was his way of expressing this in a simple way. But if you imagine your chakra is open, like your heart chakra, well, it can reach out and touch other people in this realm. But theoretically, the heart chakra can reach out into other realms beyond the blockage around Earth. But it doesn't do that normally because of these seals or the quarantine, one or the other. So on the other realms, when we make connection to these group souls and we connect in a heart way, then we have overcome the seal that was blocking us. You see, you can have your heart chakra open to each other in this realm. People can be in love. They can have their heart chakras open. But it's not penetrating through, in most cases, to the higher dimensions outside of this realm. And that goes with all the other chakras as well. I'm not sure if it's true with the crown chakra, which is called the gateway to intelligent infinity. But I suspect it is in some way, shape, or form, because there's seven seals, and that I think that we need the assistance or the connection to the group soul energies to release those seals, or to give us the energy to release them. And I believe that's partially what we do on our Sunday call. We start releasing the limitations, our contraction into this realm. And once you start to do that, you start to accelerate time. And when you accelerate time from the other realms, you start to see your patterns better because you're looking down on them instead of being in them. And you can process your patterns faster. For example, somebody that, let's say they have trauma, they had abuse of some kind. And in this realm, the way you would process trauma is to go to a drink. And 5 years later, you're still going to the shrink, okay? It's more like the shrink gives you compassion, although maybe he can move you into the place where the trauma started and help release it. But when you move into a higher timeline, you're above the timeline where the trauma came in. Like when we're talking on these calls, if you had trauma last week, or if you had upset last week, you might find that during this call, you don't feel upset because the energy on the call moves you to a higher timeline. And this is, in this period of time, this is a very important experience to have because Earth is under a huge amount of negative influences, really dark influences. And that if you're stuck in the timeline of Earth, it's rather hard not to be not of the effect of the dark influences here. And you know, lots of people are studying them, They're putting these loads of YouTubes. George Norrie talks about them all the time. And they're very real. And if you do not have the expansion into the timelines above that, they are going to scare you. They're going to impact you. And they're going to keep you contained in the matrix of the Earth. So there's something called graduation, which means you can die. And if you've when you die, you have access to the matrix that you had access to when you were alive. See, when you're in a body, you don't have to die to have access to higher matrices. You can have them while you're alive. And if you establish yourself in the higher matrix, then the way the raw material talks about it is your consciousness moves to the highest matrix you've established yourself, and then you can't go further than that because you can't hold the energy for that. So I believe that one of the things we're doing is helping people do just that, to access a higher matrix while they're alive, so when they die, they can graduate this realm. And the idea of graduation is something that was in the reincarnation of Wilcox channelings and the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Carla's channelings and the raw material, and in all of my sessions with Dee and Terry. It was a reiterative theme that I was just being exposed to when I studied this. But, you know, in a certain way, it corresponded, and I put this together at the very beginning. It seemed to correspond with the prophecies of Jesus, of one will be taken, one will be left behind. And, of course, when we've asked questions about this, they talk about the birth of the Christ. Not that Jesus is going to return in the physical. They said it probably wouldn't work to bring him back into the physical because it would just create competition, how would we know he was who he said he was? And how do we know the negative is not going to bring somebody in and say they're Jesus and try to turn them into the Antichrist? That's the negative agenda. So it's very tricky. And I've learned a lot, even though Terry Friedman he's the guy that wrote the book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus and Has the Memories of Being Matthew. I've learned a lot from him that correlates with all the other things I was learning, but not directly, because Terry didn't know about the rock group. He heard about the Elohim, but he did have these memories of being with Jesus, and it very much connected in a general way with my information that I was already learning. And so I just keep watching this and paying attention and cross-referencing things to come to the conclusion that I think I have it right. And that doesn't mean I do. I could be making mistakes. But if I just focus on what's important is to create community, create loving energy. This is not about the propagation of a new philosophy or a new belief system. It's not about creating some kind of religion. It's about taking all these understandings and applying them, learning how to apply them to your life so that you can expand into these higher holograms. And regardless of what happens on planet Earth, you will not have to come back here And why don't you want to come back here? In the past, coming back here was kind of standard operating procedure. And there are a lot of reasons that we might want to come back here. First of all, we haven't learned all the lessons of this realm. Second of all, we have people we really care about and love, and that we come back to help them. And it's like, why would you want to graduate? Well, graduation doesn't mean you can't come back here. It means that if the planet, in particular, gets overrun by the negative, if some of the worser agendas occur, then either the planet's going to have to go through a cleansing and a reseeding, or it's going to be owned by the negative, and to come back here would mean, like, voluntarily going into a jail cell if they lock me up. And so you want to have a choice. And if you love your children, and you say, well, what about my children? Sooner or later, and it may be thousands of years from now, connect with your children. It may or may not, but you're going to be in a timeless place. So 1,000 years will not be a long time to your experience. So there's a lot of free will choice. In fact, there's no really, this is what's supposed to happen, and this is locked in. We're all in the process of constantly recreating our own potentials and the potentials for our planet, and that we're working to try to be as effective as we can to deliver that to you in a way that's usable. So in terms of connecting with these higher holograms, coming to the conference calls, certainly, it's a huge learning experience. Reading our materials is very important because it helps drum it into your brain, the reality of it all, because it's very easy to dismiss it quickly. Reading the books that have channeled material, like The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce or the Creator God book, or the raw material. In particular, I'm not recommending any other channel sources because I'm not sure, I don't have the time, I'm not sure what I can trust and what I can't. The value of channeled material is if it truly comes from a source that's truly in a higher hologram that has service to others attached to it, then when you read it, you immediately can start to expand your hologram. And I had that experience when I was first studying The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And Terry was helping me edit it. And we would go to little cafes in Pasadena where we were living. And when we were working on it, we would read the things out loud to each other. And we could feel a shift in energy. And when the energy shifted, these little cafes, they didn't want us to leave. We shifted the energy in the cafe. And we'd be there all day. And when we got up to leave, the waitress would say, "You guys leaving already?" It happens here in Sedona. There's one restaurant I come to. And then I wasn't there for a few months or a couple months. And the manager says, "Where have you been?" You know, they really missed our presence. So cram, it's like a cram course. You know, when you're in college, study for 3 days before your final, it's like, this is, you're in this place where we're giving you all these materials that if you take it seriously, you're going to cram them, okay? You're going to cram it and you're going to get it because it's not the information only. It's the resonance with the higher holograms and that you're building a place in the higher realms. Now, I'm not saying this will work for everybody. There may be people that this won't work for, that they just have, they're not ready to release their karma, and they just, whatever happens, they're going to have to come back into this realm. And when I say it won't work for everybody, I happen to believe if you create a high enough mind to say, I'm going to get this, then you'll make it work for you. You know, the sources say, as you study us, we study you. As you study us, we study you. Well, essentially, they're saying they're making a connection. At one point, in 2003, when Terry first started channeling, and I was trying to believe this was real, I started to talk to some people I know and say, listen, I got this strange phenomenon going on. Can I ask a question on your behalf? So I would formulate a question, and they would give an answer. And I was at that time amazed because I knew they could see the person. I knew the person. I knew they were aware of the person. I knew they were aware of the person's distortions or conflicts or whatever. And they spoke right to it. We did that for about 2 months. And then I asked them the question. I asked the Elohim the question. When we ask a question on behalf of someone else, is there a benefit to that person other than the information that you're giving them? And they said, yes, there was. Because they had to move from their matrix into the matrix of the person an answer. And they said when they retreated, they left a trail. And so, aside from the answer to the question, there was a trail back to the higher matrix of the Elohim. And if the person chose it, they could start traveling up that trail and start establishing themselves in higher dimensions. So I believe that happens. I know, from my observation, that happens on our Wednesday calls when people ask questions, and that when they ask a question, the Elohim will look at it, and they get a trail back to the Elohim by asking the question. And so if you haven't taken advantage of asking a question, please do, because it's just another tool to expand yourself. And we're at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and it's easier because the energy is so high in this realm right now, it's easier to expand into these other dimensions than it ever has been in 75,000 years. What were the pyramids? The pyramids were kind of an amplification chamber to focus the energies of the universe inside the pyramids. If you ever study pyramids, you'll know that people have found that if you put fruit under a little pyramid, it stays fresher. If you razor blades stay sharper. When I read about the pyramids in Egypt, they were considered initiation chambers, and that people would go in them. What's an initiation chamber? Initiation chamber is somewhere you go to receive the vibration of the higher dimensions. when spiritual masters would initiate people, if they were true masters, they would connect the higher vibration of the higher realms with that person. So that person now had a reference for this kind of expansion. And you know, oftentimes, those kinds of things were conducted in secret because they didn't want it out to the general populace. And one of the reasons they didn't want it out to the general populace was because they wanted to control the populace. So therefore, for example, if we were doing this here like they were doing it, we would never give the information out. We would just say, you know, we have this secret meeting. You have to join. We have to decide if you're good enough. And then you might learn some of this information. But the goal of the Ra group was not to make this reserved for the elite. This was meant to be for everyone. From the elite's point of view, they were afraid if people learned this, they would misuse it. A lot of people are unruly, that want power, they want magical powers, and in a sense, we're giving some of the secrets to magical powers here. But what I find, by and large, is the people that want that start to come into our group, but they can't stay because the energy drives them off. They find some reason to judge it or to be, think I'm on an ego trip or whatever, and they don't come back. And maybe it just doesn't resonate with them. Maybe energetically there's something that will resonate with them better than what we do. But I do believe that we are breaking the doors in this realm to be doing this in a public way and so transparently and with very few things that we don't share with everybody. And to be a gateway for these group souls energetically into this realm so that we can break through those Templar seals and learn how to access the higher realms. Terry?
Yes.
Do you agree with what I'm saying in general?
Yes. To even know that the higher realms are there, like, that's a big thing. It's like it's not just here and it's over. There is a whole lot more. Like, when a person looks, they look through their eyes and their senses, but the range of hearing and seeing, our frequencies are a small range. And there is a whole big range beyond that. So as one gets more super sensitive and develops their third eye and develops their psychic sense, they can begin to rediscover those higher realms. And then they can begin to know that it is more, there is more. And even when they get more insight, they can begin to feel the love of the higher realms and know that they are part of it and they are loved.
And then, you know, one of the ways that the connection to the higher realms starts to manifest in someone is they start getting intuitive. They start feeling things. They get less logical. They they have, they start getting flashes of memories. You know, oftentimes when people ask our sources about their past lives, they don't say much about it because it becomes something adopted into their logical mind. They try to understand it logically. If they were somebody prominent, they go on an ego trip about it, and they say, "Watch for the patterns." And then, oftentimes people start getting flashes, and they start having dreams, and they start to remember. In the highest of truth, there really are no past lives. Past lives are a manifestation of a lower timeline, where you have to keep having the same soul that is in a higher timeline keep manifesting through different bodies. And it's this amazing game that, for whatever reason, it's the way it works this way. It's this game where the same thing's moving through a body, but then when it comes down the birth canal, part of the process of doing that is the memory of the past. The past expressions are gone. And yet the soul still carries the full picture. The records are stored in the Akashic, what's called the Akashic records of our planet. It's actually just the big energy fields that store the history of the planet, you know, and everyone in it. And some people can access that and give you a reading, but you know what? That's still contained, as I get it, it's contained within the energy field of planet Earth. And when you get above the energy field of the Earth is when you start having flashes about these things at the lower levels. So each of us, you know, one of the areas where free will really works, because when we talk about free will, it makes it sound to some people like, I don't have free will. I don't have enough money. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm oppressed. You know, I'm stuck with this person I'm married to, and I can't get out of it because we need each other for security, but we don't get along. What am I supposed to do? I don't have free will. Well, on a certain level, in this realm, you may not. But you do have the free will to choose a higher evolutionary path. You do have the free will to study materials, spiritual materials of a high level that help you understand and help establish you above the hologram of planet Earth. And that if you exercise your free will to do that, and you are really committed and say, I know this exists, this is where faith comes in. This is, you know, the area where you come into these calls or you come into something that you know people are having an experience that you're not having. And then you have the faith to say, I really want to have that experience. And then if you hold that energy long enough, you will have the experience. But you have to want it, you have to aim for it, and right now on our planet, there's not a lot of time, so you have to do a crash course, because otherwise, if you're still stuck into the reincarnational pattern of Earth, you may be stuck having to come into some pretty horrible futures. And, you know, I wanted to mention, you know, there's a lot of people talking about the economy and a potential crash in the economy. And most people who have some level of expertise are saying that it's not if, it's when. And some people are thinking it could be as close as September, October, November. And I don't want to be a participation in making prophecies about this stuff. But you don't need to be a prophet to pick this out. I mean, it's like for a very long time, we've been printing money that has nothing behind it. I heard many people are saying that trillions of dollars have disappeared from the government. Trillions, okay? So somewhere within there, they are taking money. It's like they all know that something's going to happen. And as Michael Jackson said in his song, they don't really care about us as much as they may seem to. So there was a guy who I happened to discover on YouTube last night, and he didn't want to give his name, but he says all the people with money in the know are buying him out of his products. And he didn't say what his products were, but I suspected that it might have been food storage. And whether that's true or not, I strongly recommend that all of you go to the local dollar store and buy a couple hundred dollars of canned food. Try to find stuff that doesn't have monosodium glutamate. You know, there's a one store called Big Lots in California and in Arizona, and then there's the dollar store. But at this point, even if you don't get it as healthy as it could be, it's certainly better to have something, particularly if you don't have a lot of money, because you can buy canned, non-GMO organic food. But I would venture to get what, you know, things that are going to have protein in them, canned vegetables. And I'd also recommend water. And what you can do is, you know, in your cartons of juice or milk, clean them out after you use them and put water in and find a place to store it. And what this fellow was saying is, in particular, in the cities, if there's some kind of breakdown, it'll probably bounce back. But if for some reason there is not food in the supermarkets, and there's no gas, your only refuge is going to be to stay holed up in your house until it passes. And that if you go out, walking around on the streets or driving somewhere could be extremely dangerous. And that makes sense to me. That makes sense that that could be a possible scenario. So he said, make sure you have a radio, lots of batteries. If you lose heat or electricity, have some alternative things to keep going. If you're somebody that's in a very cold climate, you can buy a propane heater or something and have lots of propane stored so that you can turn it on occasionally, or have some really, really warm clothes to wear. Because if this happens, you cannot expect anyone is going to help you. You're going to be on your own for a period of time.
When we're about to leave BBS.
Yeah, there's too much going on for the police and the authorities to handle it. So I just make that a priority to do that. And hopefully we'll still have our phone lines connected so we can have these calls. And I'm not hoping that, I'm not predicting that that's going to happen. But I certainly think it's possible. And when we've talked to our sources, they have agreed. So on that note, we're going to finish this call. And thank you all for being here. And thank you, Terry and Hives and Robin, who puts our archives up, and John, who helps with our archives, and everyone else who is doing something. And this is a time period to do a crash course. A crash course. Take it seriously. Don't watch TV. Figure out how it works. Make the connection. And on that note, I'm going to unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Sweet dreams.
We'll see you.
Thank you.
Love and light.
Bye.
Yeah, with the
thank you.
Thank you.